It's Guy's Guy Radio. Here's your host, Robert Manny. Hey, welcome to Guy's Guy Radio. Hope you're doing well wherever and whenever you're listening to this. You might know me better as the guy from the intro voiceover, but I'm Ryan, and I was the producer of this podcast when Guy's Guy Radio was first getting started. Now, this is the 600th episode of Guy's Guy Radio, so we're going to be doing things a little differently tonight. We're flipping the script, if you will, and I'm going to be taking over the interview reins to shine the spotlight on the guy who makes this all happen. Since the launch of the book, The Guy's Guy's Guide to Love, and the podcast shortly thereafter, the Guy's Guy movement has grown to span multiple continents and has evolved past just dating and relationships. Being a guy's guy is about being open to new modalities of thinking, whether that's business, wellness, fitness, spirituality, the metaphysical, on and on. But the point is, with 600 episodes and over 700 guests and counting, that's a hell of a lot of insight across a myriad of topics. And the through line throughout all of that is that taking in information and applying what works for you is a step towards bettering yourself and those around you. It's all done with the intention of presenting information to allow men and women to be their best selves. That's how everyone wins, right? 600 episodes, 600 hours, 36,000 minutes, 25 days worth of Guy's Guy Radio. That's a lot of content. So strap in, because tonight we're going to have a sit down with the guy himself, Robert Manny, to talk Guy's Guy past, present, and future. Where do we go from here? You're going to have to listen to find out. Enjoy. All right. Welcome back to Guy's Guy Radio. As I mentioned, we're going to be flipping the script tonight for the 600th episode. I'm taking over the interview reins, and I'm going to be interviewing the man himself, Robert Manny, about all things Guy's Guy. So first off, from the rip, how you doing, Bob?
I'm doing great. Thank you, Ryan. And for everybody out there, I can't help being a host. Ryan Gilpatrick has been with me from the beginning of the show and has been so helpful in production and strategy, and now here he is interviewing me. So thank you so much, Ryan, for doing this, and I think we're going to have a lot of fun today.
Absolutely. Bob and I go way back. As I mentioned from the top, had produced the show for a number of years from the inception of Guy's Guy Radio, so I'm stoked to be here flipping the script and interviewing you for once. So
all right,
let's hop into it. So first off, for the people who might be uninitiated, what is a guy's guy, and why does it matter in today's society?
Well, as we know, like, men are kind of under the crosshairs right now. And for a lot of it's for good reason. I mean, men have kind of gotten the better of things for thousands of years, whereas women have only recently begun to get their due and their recognition. Guys have been able to run the show for not just decades, not hundreds of years, but thousands of years. And now things are changing, and they're changing very rapidly. So Guy's Guy is really an updated version of the traditional man's man, but it's not about macho. It's not about testosterone. It's about being comfortable in your own skin, sensitized to what's going on in the world today, being mindful, present, kind, humane, and also courageous in terms of doing the right thing. Hopefully, and being a human, making mistakes, but owning it and then moving forward. So hopefully a guy's guy is something that guys aspire to, and that women, everybody enjoys their company. So it's, I'm really glad that we've been doing this, because as I've seen over the last decade of working on this brand and building this brand, there's more and more a need for men to evolve and really put their best face forward. Let's face it, this is a time where I think it's the greatest time ever to be a man, because it's never been more opportunities for men to do whatever they want to do. Yet it's also a time where it's never been less clear who men are. Hence, enter the guy's guy, and hopefully we can help lead the way to make this a better world.
In recent years, men and their behavior have been under the microscope, right? And a lot of that comes from being accountable for who you are and what you're about. So based on what we've seen over the last, decade, what do you think about the current state of men? Where are we at?
Well, I think, you know, there's some good trends happening now. I think, and I've noticed this over the last decade, that I think today's men want to better themselves, but sometimes they don't feel as comfortable as women do with self-improvement. It's interesting that a good portion of our audience is women. And I understand why, because, you know, I've been to, you know, yoga. Anybody's been to a yoga class or some type of spiritual group, metaphysical work, it's filled with women. And guys are coming along with it. They're getting it together and becoming more open-minded. But I'm a boomer, and I know from dealing with my friends, the guys, it's hard to get to them. They think they have the answer to everything. A lot of guys, including myself, we can be thin-skinned. We can be, I have to be right. That's the way it is. Double down on everything, triple down. And, you know, right. It's not helping. It's not, and then the stress builds up. And then we start to get closed down and closed-minded. And I think this is a really important thing that we're doing, Ryan, is trying to reach guys and reach women and have everybody kind of come together, live their best lives through being open-minded, exchanging ideas. One of the things we do on the show, as you know, is we've interviewed over 700 thought leaders from all different parts of life, all different categories. And the idea is to just bring new information to people and then let them determine, is this something I can use or not? You know, I've got a free education having done 600 shows, 700 guests. Some shows we had in the past, we had more than one guest. It's a free education, learning all these things from all these different people. That doesn't mean I agree with every single thing I've heard from every guest, or I'm doing every single practice that they suggest. The other piece of good news, though, is you can pick and choose, but also a lot of people who are evolved are saying the same things in a different way, and there's different tactics. And that's good because, you know, every raindrop is different. And it's okay. It's still becomes part of a lake or the ocean. That's okay. We're all part of the ocean, but we're all individual drops of water. And if we start to recognize that and embrace that, then we can move forward together. So when I bring the guests to the show, it's not that this is what you have to do. It's like, here's some new information for you. So, you know, listen, it's guy's guy. I love baseball. I love quote unquote babes. I love beer and all that stuff, but there's more to it. And I think a lot of guys, as they age now, are starting to realize, hey, what else is there for me? Is the collective determining who I am, what I am, and what's going to happen with me? Or do I have a say in this? And that's what we do on Guys, Guys Radio. We really bring out the information to people and let them make their own determinations as to what works for them.
We'll be right back with Guys, Guy Radio after these messages.
The station that makes you feel good.
UK Health Radio.
The station that makes you feel good.
So you mentioned 600 episodes, you've got 700 guests, like that's a lot of content. And you mentioned yourself, some of the stuff you agree with, some of the stuff you don't, but it's all about presenting the information and allowing the listener, the viewer, whatever the case may be, to make their own informed decisions based on what works for them. So coming out of that, what are the pieces of information that you want people to really take away? Like when we're looking at men in today's society, they're being pulled in a million different directions. What steps can they take? What pieces of information do you think are the most important in taking the steps to reimagine their place within society in a positive way?
Well, I think that number one, I think we all need to learn to listen to others. And if we don't agree with other people, whether you're a guy or a woman or whatever, ask questions and keep asking questions and then say, thank you. I want to hear how you came up with those conclusions. I think that's a great first step in kind of bringing people together and finding some peace, because everybody's so polarized and locked in, it makes it really difficult. I think for men, one of the things I've learned from, you know, the show began with the book, we'll get into that, and also a lot of dating and relationships. And a couple of pieces of information that were surprising to me in some ways, and yet the more I heard it, the more I learned about it, the more I realized it's so true and was right in front of my face, is that, you know, in traditional relationships, women want the guy to take the lead and to really make them feel secure and comfortable. That does not mean that women are not capable of that, But at a certain point, they want to take the alpha business hat off, if you will, and they want to let the guy come up with some ideas and take the lead and suggest a date. Today, it's so easy for guys. You can sit at home in your tidy whities and meet lots of really good looking, smart, capable women out there. And it can lead to laziness because technology can be, as you know, our friend or our foe, depending on how you use it. So I think one of the things guys need to learn is that women still appreciate if you behave like a guy in a good way. That doesn't mean to be arrogant or narcissistic or misogynist or chauvinistic. It means being present. It means listening. It means coming up with ideas. It means contributing and being open. And to me, the best thing that couples can do is both learn to grow individually and bring the learning into the relationships to make better relationships. This is what I've gleaned from the relationship experts, men and women, over the years, which is kind of one of the building blocks of Guys Guys Radio and the whole Guys Guys movement is relationships. And that was the book was based on that.
Right. So you brought up the book. That was really kind of the genesis of this whole Guys Guy movement, right? Let's start there. How'd you get started writing that? What was the inspiration behind that? Like, take me through the process.
Well, you know, writing itself is like, I always say, it's something that it's not that you want to do. It's something that if you're a writer, it's something you have to do. So as a kid, I wanted to be a writer in some form or fashion. And I think everybody has a book or stories inside of them. And it's up to them to determine, do they want to pull it out or not? And God went, got my education, got in the business world, and I felt something was missing. And I wrote a book about a startup, and it was a novel. And I remember I cried when I finished it, and I sent it out, and I got rejected everywhere. And I went to writing conferences, and I still got rejected. And I said, okay, I know how to write a book now. So I went back, and I had this inspiration. I was in Bloomingdale's, and there was a woman and her boyfriend, and she was kind of leading him around, telling him what clothes to wear. And I'm like, wow, is this how it is now? You know, guy, pick out your own suit or whatever. And I was being kind of narrow in my thinking then, but I thought, you know, maybe this dynamic between men and women needs to be discussed from a male point of view and from somebody witnessing. So I started writing The Guy's Guide to Love, and I'm not in the book. And there's three main characters. There's the character that's the regular guy, the guy's guy. And then there's kind of the womanizer guy, who's the sexual male. And then there's a kind of a spiritual guy who's a surfer. And it's really about the three of them, and it's about relationships. You've got flawed men, savvy women, and it fills a need because I think people needed to hear the regular guy, male point of view on relationships because we had Sex in the City and all kinds of stuff where it's a lot of it was driven by the female perspective. And I didn't see any movies that were about what do the guys think? How about the guy's perspective on this? And so that's what was my inspiration and motivation. I wanted to tell the truth in a way that doesn't marginalize men and doesn't put down women.
Yeah, I mean, to quote Drake, women are the tastemakers here, but you need that secondary perspective, right? The other half of the yin and the yang. So you drop the book. We were working together in Madison Avenue in the advertising game. Yep. So what happened next?
Well, from there, I started blogging. So the main character in the book is a guy by the name of Max Halliday, and he's asked by his ex if he can write a column about men for women. She's got a new woman's magazine, and he says no. And he says women don't want to hear what men really think. They don't want to know how men really are. And that's another reason I was inspired to write the book. I want to give the ugly truth, if you will, because it's not that bad. So he starts writing a column, and the column's called, of course, The Guy's Guide to Love. And it becomes, you know, is it famous or notorious? Because his whole behavior changes as he becomes this man about town in the city. And so I started writing a blog about kind of my perspective, the male's perspective on different topics. And we did over 300 blog posts. And it's really about life imitating art. And we got picked out as one of the best dating blogs and things like that. And you posted so many of those articles for me. They're all on my website, RobertManni.com. And you can read any of the 300 of them. And while you're there, you can also download three free chapters of the novel. If you want.
Come on now.
And it started to get picked up. So I just kept going.
Yeah, I mean, you definitely covered a large breadth of all of the facets that constitute what a guy's guy is, whether that's dating and relationships, whether it's business, whether it's wellness, you know, metaphysical, all of that kind of stuff. And that's kind of been your approach with the podcast too, right? How did that become part of the picture?
Pods were starting to happen a little bit, and I'm like, okay, let's do one. So I was doing with one with a partner, and we did about three or four shows, and then the other person wanted to do their own thing, and I'm like, cool. And I had a date coming up. Do I have to, you know, I'm going to do it or drop it? And I called up a friend of mine who's a comedian, and he came on the show, and I'm like, that was fun. And then I started scrounging around for dates to make a weekly show. Over time, I started to be discovered by publicists who used to send me guests. And first there was relationship people, and I would also go on their shows. And then I started to get other things, wellness, metaphysical, sports writers, New York Times authors. And these publicists started sending me guests. And I said, okay, well, the guy's guy's world isn't just about sex and dating. It's about much more than that. And maybe I can help, you know, lead the way into helping men evolve in a good way. And so we started to grow that way, the podcast. And then from there, part of it, Ryan, as you know, is keep going. We just kept doing it week after week, putting out the content. There's an unquenchable thirst of content for content out there. And it while you're doing it, it hones your game. So I figured, well, I'm a little bit under the radar so far, but let me keep doing it. I'll polish my game and we get more and more guests. And, you know, I'll take a shot at getting a big name out there, and that could take the show to the next level.
Yeah. And again, it's been a growing sort of platform. It's been growing in, you know, multiple different directions, because again, that's how men in today's society should be growing, right? Like rounding out their skill set by learning more about all of these, you know, types of things, whether it's wellness, spirituality, the metaphysical, all that kind of stuff. It's all part of this big puzzle, right? So have you gone about branching out? Like, what is the process been? Was there a conscious thought process about like bringing in people from these disparate sorts of topics, or did it all just kind of stem naturally for you?
A kind of a combination. I would, if I had certain areas that were of interest to me, then I would reach out to people in those areas. And then once you get discovered, then you start to get publicists send you people who are they're representing people who are in those areas. And then I you know, wrote down names of people I'd like to be able to talk to and start to get some of those. At the time when I just started out, I got Neil Donald Walsh. He's been on the show four or five times. He's coming on in another 2 weeks from now. And he wrote Conversations with God. And I always found that his book were so different. And it was really breakthrough in terms of how people see metaphysics and spirituality. And that he says in his quote unquote Conversations with God that God says that God experiences itself through all of us, each of us individually and collectively. And I thought, like, wow, that is so different than what we're told in organized religion. And I think you start thinking about it, and then you start seeing everything having God in it, and it changes your perspective of the world, and it changes you as a person. So that's one example of one way I go. I like sports. I want to get some sports people. I like celebrities of TV. I looked in that direction. I got Vinny Pastor from The Sopranos. I got Eric Roberts, who I think is a terrific actor. He was in The Pope of Greenwich Village, also Oscar nominated for another film, Runaway Train, I think it was called. And we just started to grow from there. And I figured, well, okay, I read a book. I like this author. I reached out to them. Or I'm online. I'm watching a TV show. I watch Gaia sometimes. And some of the guests I find are like really ahead of the curve. Let me see if I can get that person. I'll give you an example. Bill McKenna, my wife, she saw him on Gaia and said, you should really meet this guy. He'd be great on your show. Not only did I get him on the show, I met him, and he's one of my buddies now out here in California. So that's the way it works. I just start growing. And then the way you get guests, if you're a podcaster, is you ask the guests that you have, if you see on their book or whatever, hey, they got a blurb from this person, or you know they know this person, you say, hey, I'd love to talk to that person. And people, if they think you're doing a good job and you're respectful, they'll help you. They'll connect you. And I can't tell you the amount of times and the amount of people I've been connected to who have come on the show and been, you know, like friends, people I could reach out to at any time, and been super helpful and super nice, and really are beacons of light in the world. And we need people like that. That's why I love doing the show, because, you know, obviously I want to raise my own brand, but I'm helping other people who have positive messages out there that are interesting too.
Yeah. I mean, one of the things that I think is cool about the podcast generally is that it's like, you're a guy who's never been afraid to go in like your own direction and kind of seek out, you know, outside sources or do your own thing and, you know, expand your own personal horizons. And that the podcast is really kind of an extension of that. But in that turn, you've also been able to spread that awareness and that kind of messaging and bring this information to new kind of audiences. And for you, part of this, you know, with Guys Guy Radio is that you've been able to branch that out towards terrestrial radio. You're working in, with KCAA. You're working with UK Health Radio. So how did that kind of come about? And what are we looking forward to moving
forward? So the podcast was on, and we started on Blog Talk Radio, and then we expanded to other platforms, as you know. So we were everywhere. And then one of my guests came on, Kimberly Meredith. She's the medical medium, and she is like a human MRI machine. She kind of can see inside you through her guides, through blinking, if you're open. Absolutely. And what happened was, the reading was on me in the show, and I had a medical issue, and I went back into my practitioner and had some other tests done, and there was substantial changes to the point where my physician said, go take the test again. And I did, and it was the same thing. So he was like, okay, maybe we missed something, or you had an infection or whatever. I said, okay. Well, I wrote an email to thank Kimberly, and she said, well, would you come on KCA Radio and tell your story? I said, I'll tell you what happened. That's it. And so she said, okay. So I went on the show, and afterwards, the producer who used to produce for Howard Stern, a guy by the name of Gary Garver, he came on and said, hey, what are you doing? So we're on terrestrial radio in the largest market, Southern California. And from there, a couple of years later, then because we've had so many of these alternative medicine and traditional allopathic practitioners covering everything from light therapy to Lyme disease and just experts in different areas, UK Health Radio launched what's now the largest talk health radio platform in the world. It's digital radio. And we're on, Guys Radio is on there four times every weekend plus on demand. So now we've got that, and that's worldwide. Very big in the UK, obviously, very big in the US now, and other markets in Europe and India. And so that's great. So we keep spreading, we keep adding to the platform. And it's all seamless. It's all part of the building blocks. It's all part of the foundation. And the responsibility on me is I really need to represent this. I want to live it. So I am a Reiki master teacher. I am an advanced clinical master hypnotist. I am certified in Ho'oponopono. I am certified in one level of awakening dynamics and the Jose Silva life course. And I've had guests on the show who have taught me these things. Like I got into Ho'oponopono because I had Joe Vitale from The Secret on the show for my 500th episode. And I was so enamored with the message of Ho'oponopono, which is basically you clean out your garbage that you carry around with you through a phrase. I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. And I put that out there all the time. And anytime I have an issue with anybody or have an argument with ever, I send that to them. And like clockwork, it works perfectly. And it's all about cleaning the issue with me that I found in you, because it's all about us carrying around stuff. And that's a very obviously shorthand version of it. But the point is, through my guests, I've learned so much more. So I keep learning and keep bringing new people on the show and keep, you know, upping my own personal game, because I think that's really important. And as part of that, UK Health Radio has a digital magazine called Health Triangle Magazine. And they put an offer out a year ago saying, hey, anybody have some content they want to put out here? We're going to do a monthly series, we're going to do a monthly magazine. So I'm like, I've been really looking at aging as a boomer. And about, as you know, about 10 years ago, I was out running. I had a kidney stone that disappeared somehow. And then I had two surgeries for growths on my kidneys, and that was gone. And I never had to deal with that again. And then I also had an emergency appendectomy 3 years ago. And while in that process, I heard a voice in my head said, don't drink alcohol. So I stopped. The reason I bring this stuff up is part of my own personal journey is I've changed my lifestyle. I also, at the time where I had my first surgeries, my son was one, and I'm an older dad. And I'm like, I got to take care of myself. I partied hard in the advertising industry, working on the top distilled spirits accounts in the world, and had a great time. And now it's time to take care of me. And so I've changed, adding those metaphysical practices along with my own personal practices. I do Dan Millman, who wrote The Peaceful Warrior, The Way of the Peaceful Warrior. He has a workout, a morning workout. He's been doing it. I looked at him when I interviewed him. I'm like, wow, you look great. How old are you? And he told me at the time he was like 74. And I'm like, wow, I got to start doing that. And I realized that, you know, my time pounding in the gym with the weights and everything, I had run three marathons. At the third marathon, my knee was like, this doesn't work, and all kinds of stuff. I'm like, I have to change. I have to adapt because I'm aging. So long story long, forgive me, is that I started changing my lifestyle and chronicling it for UK Health Triangles magazine, Health Triangle magazine. And it's a series. It's called Aging is a Choice. So now I'm very focused on that. I just finished my most recent column. It got submitted, and they've published 12 in a row. And we're working on some bigger ideas around that concept, because I also want to be a light to help out the boomer guys and boomer women out there to try to do anything they can to keep themselves vital and to explode and dispel the myth that aging is about demise and like you're going down. And a lot of it gets planted in people's psyche and consciousness, and it's a bad thing. And I hear it all the time. I'll hear a friend say, oh, we're getting old now. I'm getting old. You know what? That's your choice. And that's why I say aging is a choice. And we have to really just live our lives, be present, take care of ourselves, take care of other people, and not let the conscious collective, if you will, tell us the narrative. This is how it is. No.
Well, your personal journey has been very well documented, whether it's across the blog, whether it's been on the podcast. You've got the new column with UK Health Radio. I know that there's some other stuff in the works that I don't want to blow the lid on when it comes to aging being a choice and, you know, your journeys therein. So taking a look at your story specifically, I mean, like, you're a guy, you had your fun on Madison Avenue in New York City in your heyday. You got married later in life. You had a kid later in life. That's, you know, a part of your personal journey. It's also something that you've, you know, shared a lot about. So for anyone who's tuning in now, what kind of takeaways, what kind of learnings can you share with us about that whole experience?
Well, it's all about relationships, and I totally get you. I had to learn the hard way. I mean, I was in a couple of long-term relationships that didn't work out, and I learned from them, and I did things that weren't great. And I said, okay, what do I have to do? So I went online. I was old. I didn't get married. I went online. I met a lot of great women, and I started to ask myself, okay, is this it? I'm just going to be dating online all the time. And all of a sudden, somebody winked at me on Match.com, and it was somebody who I had never been on a dating site or anything. And after our first initial little foray back and forth with the, you know, the email, if you will, she said, oh, let's just meet. I said, what, you want to have a phone call? She says, no, let's just meet. And I'm like, why not have a phone call? Because I knew you have to exchange energy with somebody's voice. Okay. She said, no, let's just meet. And I realized that here's a big learning. Tiffany, I just made up these rules. So I'm just going to break my own rules. And we met, we got together. And then after three dates, I said, hey, you know, I'm having a great time, and I've been in some other relationships and they haven't worked out, and I'm sure a lot of it's on me. What do I need to do to be a good boyfriend? And the person sitting across the table from me, who is now my wife of over 10 years, put her fork down and she looked at me and she said, pay attention. And that was a big wake-up call. And I think it's a message for two words. I said, anything else? She said, no. But for guys out there, pay attention. Because as we know, and this is indisputable, women pay attention to all the little things. They pick up on stuff like crazy. And we pick up, we're sensitive. Yeah, we pay attention to us as guys, right? To our stuff. How does it affect me all the time? And it really takes a change, a paradigm shift, to be able to start paying attention to your partner. If you're a guy, how are you doing today? See, oh, is she in a good mood today? What's going on with her? And then not solve the problems. Just listen. And then if you're asked, serve up, you know, what you think might be a solution. But we're so quick to like fix everything. And women don't want us to fix everything. They want to be heard. So I've learned so much over the years. My wife's younger than me. And I'm glad that this has nothing to do with it, but I'm glad I waited, because I'll tell you what happened. I was single for so long. I went home for Thanksgiving. When I go home for Thanksgiving, nobody even asked me, when are you getting married? I was forgotten. I was like the black sheep. That was it. And I realized I had an epiphany, and I said, I haven't made room in my heart for somebody else. So I was home at Thanksgiving one time, and I said to my mom, hey, mom, you know, I'm going to get married next year. And she goes, really? That's great. Who are you? To who? I said, I don't know. She's like, what? I'm like, I just know it's going to happen. And because I had that epiphany about making room for somebody else in my heart, in my life, it happened. And sure enough, I met my wife a year later, and we got engaged that right at that time. And then we got married the following spring. And it's been great since then. So I learned a lot, you know, for people out there, a lot of people want starter marriages and this or that. Waiting, this is just my experience. Waiting was better for me. You know why? Because I wasn't up to it before that. I wasn't up to the task, to the responsibility of being married. I was too wild in terms of, you know, my perspective. I would have been lousy. I would have been divorced. So I had to spend a lot of time alone. When you're single, after a while, you know, it's Saturday night. All your friends are in the suburbs with their kids. You want to go out to that bar by yourself and you're starting to get a little gray? Well, you got to find the right place to go to. It's not the end of the world. And half the world is single anyhow, who's over 50 these days. But, you know, what they say, the heart is a lonely hunter, and it can be that way. So you want to, at a certain point, say, what do I really want long term? Do I want to be single the rest of my life? Will I be happy that way? Okay, fine. I was kind of there, but I was open-minded and I was open to something new. And now I'm a dad. My son's 10. We play baseball. I'm taking him to swimming later. We have a great time together. My wife's wonderful. And this is how it worked for me. My message to guys out there, find out what works for you. Don't feel pressured into anything. And same thing for women. Don't feel pressured. Do what works for you. Love yourself. And that's how you attract the love from others.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's a really salient point that you kind of hit on there. I mean, it's like a lot of dudes out there are works in progress, myself included, right? So like everyone, we're all on our individual paths, but you know, I think the best thing that we can do for everybody else is just try to be that best version of yourself. Work through whatever it is that's holding you back, that's bringing you down, so that you can bring the best to the table for your partner. Right. Yep. Otherwise, you're trying to live up to the same life path as the people around you. Maybe not necessarily the best fit for where you're at or what your journey is going to be. So taking those continual steps, like you mentioned, to, you know, try to better yourself, get yourself in that right headspace so that you're available and present for your partner and those around you is really going to benefit you when it comes to settling down, if that's what you choose to do, and, you know, creating that life for yourself and your family. So part of that process for you, beyond like getting married later in life and, you know, developing your family and all that kind of stuff, is like you took a big leap of faith leaving the advertising industry to go all in, jumping straight in the deep end with this whole Guy's Guy brand. So talk to me about that. What was that kind of process like for you when it came to fully diving in on this whole Guy's Guy project, mindset, mentality, and the media brand that you've really built out of it?
Well, you know, sometimes what they say is, sometimes when things happen to you, you don't think they're good for you. They could turn out to be the best thing. For instance, when I had a disease that turned out to be an inciting incident, a spark for me to change my life. And so looking back, that was one of the best things that ever happened to me. At the time, it was the worst thing by far ever that happened to me, because I was caught off guard and I was looking into the abyss, if you will, and like this could be it. And but I had to come back. I was blessed to be able to get a second chance. I figured, well, I got to look at a lot of different things. So I also felt that the business I was in, I had some opportunities to launch my own brand and things like that, and they just kept seeing. I didn't feel the love coming back to me. And I'm like, you know what? Maybe there's a reason for this. And I'm really finding joy in what I'm doing. And things seem to be unfolding slowly but steadily. I'm going to go do that, because when this happens in the way I want it to happen, it's going to be the greatest thing that's ever happened in my life. And I'll be contributing, hopefully, by doing that. So I decided, if there's a way I can do this, if I can manage my finances, is there a way I can do this? If my wife, my partner will say, okay, I'm with you, then I'll do it. And that's, fortunately, I was blessed that being the case. And things have, you know, had to modify the lifestyle, make some choices. You do this or do that. You buy this or you buy that. I got it. You know, I'm driving a Subaru. Okay, fine. It works. I love it. But you have to make some sacrifice. Not that, you know, some people don't have a vehicle. I get it. I'm super, you know, appreciative, but I'm not driving a Tesla or a Mercedes. So not woe is me, but I was riding in, you know, fast lifestyle in New York. And now I have to make some adjustments. That's the point. It's all relative. So it turned out to be a good thing. And you just have to say, I'm present. I'm awake. I'm healthy. I wake up every morning now, Ryan, and I say, thank you. Thank you for the roof over my head. Thank you for my family. Thank you for my health. Thank you for my abundance. Thank you for my son. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And that's just part of lifestyle, as well as adding meditation, morning meditation to that. And so when I come up with frustrations, building something out of, you know, that's new, not knowing what the next step is, not knowing where the next break is, you have to say, why am I doing this? I ask for guidance. And things seem to always work out. And this has kept me going. Even as recently as like this past week, I'm like, darn, I want the numbers to be better than this. And I'm like, okay, what do I have to do? Get over yourself and take a step back and say, okay, look at all these different areas. What can be done? And I think that's what we all have to do, particularly when we take that leap and we bet on ourselves. We have to be willing to say, hey, I'm all in or not, because once you go halfway, and then backtrack, then you're going to always, are you going to ask yourself, I should have stuck with it. You might have been right at that point. And that's so many times that happens, that people drop it right when they're on the precipice of what they really want to happen. So I figured in the meantime, we're spreading goodwill. We're spreading information that people can digest and use to their own benefit. And we'll just keep going helping people.
So nowadays, everyone wants to position themselves. If you look on Twitter, at least, everyone wants to position themselves as a wannabe entrepreneur, right? So, but you're actually someone who's built their own brand. You know, is that your piece of advice for people who are trying to jump out on their own, do their own thing? Is that like, just go for it? Or what do you got to say to them?
I think every case is an individual case, and you have to weigh all the different factors. You know, if you're a guy and you have like five kids or something, and your wife's not working or whatever, you know, you have to like say, okay, what's my financial situation? Can I do this or not? Otherwise, you don't want to put the other people at risk.
Right.
If you're single and you say, okay, what do I want to get out of the corporate lifestyle? How much is enough? You know, New York's a great place. You go there and everybody's got a mission and everybody's on mission. So it's go, go, go. And very people, there's a lot of focus there. It's chaos, but there's a lot of focus also. Yeah. So that's good. If doing what I'm doing, I start to feel uncomfortable in New York because my friends are all in corporate and they're like wearing their suit and tie and like, what are you doing? Blah, blah, blah. And they're working on big deals and stuff. And I'm like, oh yeah, podcast. Oh, you wrote a book. That's cool. And I got to go to lunch. Bye. And right. You know, that's understandable. I was there also. So actually we moved, my wife convinced me, let's get out of New York, and we moved to the West Coast. It's been better. The change has been really good. And my point for everybody is, you know, decide what you want to do. If you want to do something, if you're not satisfied with the corporate life, if you like it, fine, keep doing it. If you want to do your own thing, decide what it is. Does it fill a need? How can you contribute? And what do you want out of it? And how do you maintain your own integrity while you're doing that? And there's a lot of factors. So, and then have check-ins with yourself frequently. Okay, where are we? What are we doing? Don't put the pressure on yourself in terms of a scoreboard all the time, but say, how can we do this better? Is there something we need to add? I mean, like nobody was talking about AI 5 years ago. Nobody was on Instagram 10 years ago. I mean, nobody was on Threads 3 years ago. So you have to say, how do I use all these tools? That's true. I am. But it's just, you have to say, wow, you know, the world moves fast. And if you want to do your thing, don't get distracted and don't get discouraged if things aren't immediately going your way. It's like I said, if you want to be a writer, it's got to be something you have to do, not that you just want to do, because what will happen in that case is you'll write three pages. Oh, this is my story. And then you'll be like, now, where do we go? No, you have to study storytelling. No, you have to read a lot. And that was the other thing I would suggest for everybody, regardless of what you do, read. Read all the time. Read whenever you can. Read, meditate, and then do physical things. Get outside, get in nature, work on your body, not in a pre-training type of way, but in a way that's, you know, for your physical, overall physical health. Work on your diet over this transformational period, Ryan. As you know, I haven't eaten meat in over a decade. I haven't drank in over 3 years. I don't miss either because I realize the mechanisms behind, the underpinning behind eating meat, which is for me, not for everybody else, and not drinking, which is for me, not for everybody else, and how it works. And like, for instance, drinking is about, for me, it was about the ritual, popping open a beer, popping the wine bottle open, pouring a drink over the ice. It wasn't the alcohol. It was the ritual. So now I enjoy an alcohol removed beer now and then, and I'm fine. I don't feel left out. Tastes pretty good. It's a trade-off, like a lot of things are.
Yeah, I mean, I think that we might have hit on this earlier, but I think part of that is people are being more open to other types of things. Someone who is voluntarily sober, for instance, right? Like that might have been like, oh, that's weird. Like, do you have a problem or something like that?
Right.
10 years ago. Nowadays, you know, people are just like, no, it's just the path that's best for me. So, you know, and there are options, there are opportunities out there for you to, you know, be able to engage with that kind of stuff without feeling like an outcast or an outsider or whatever. So one of the things that you've said a lot of the time over the 600 episodes of Guys Guy Radio is that there's never been a better time to be a man. And I think that there's a large degree of truth there. You know, there's so many different paths that you can take, and there's so many different avenues that you can explore about this human experience that we're all a part of. So just to bring it back, 600 episodes, that's a lot of content. That's a lot of guests. You're saying, oh, 700 guests on Guys Guy Radio. So what's next for you? What's the game plan? What can we look forward to in 2024 and moving forward?
Well, we're going to keep doing everything we're doing in 2024 even better. That Aging is a Choice series for UK Health Radio. We're working on some things with that. I think it's another area where there's a demand for and a lot of people are interested in. A lot of boomers are interested in that. So hopefully I can contribute there. But also, I think it's gratitude. I want to be very appreciative to everybody. Number one, to you, Ryan, you've been with me and supporting me the entire time. So thank you. I want to thank Chris, our producer, who's been with me for the past, of, I don't know how many years, about 5 years. Thank you, Chris. And I want to thank my wonderful guests. And also I want to thank Noba, the band that plays the music for our show. And the name of the tune is called Uninspired, Noba, N-O-B-A. And most of all, I want to thank our listeners and our audience and our subscribers. And it means the world. So thank you very much. Please stay with us. We're going to keep going. I got a lot of great guests line up, and we're going to keep expanding in an organic, natural way to deliver you the best content and the best information to help you live your best life. Thank you.
100%. Before we, you know, wrap this all up, I got two things for you. One, you mentioned books that have been super influential to you. Can you hit me with your 2023 book of the year? If someone's got to check out anything, what's your top reco?
Wow, that's tough. You're putting me on the spot Okay, the number one book of my life, Siddhartha by Hermann Hesse. I read it every decade. I'm reading it to my son now at night, and it's about a young man's journey through life, all the ups and downs and all the different temptations and all the aspects of life, from spirituality to abundance to wealth to sex to what life is really all about. It's, to me, the great, and it's short too. And there's no fat in it whatsoever. And to me, it's the greatest book ever written. That's me, Siddhartha Hermann Hesse.
That's a banger. It was one of those seminal eye-opening books that everyone should have.
Well, what's cool about that book and why I rate it number one is that each decade that I've read it, I get something completely different out of it. It's like a completely different book.
Right. Good pick. Good pick. All right. So hit me with what's going on. What can we look forward to?
Subscribe to the YouTube. Check out the Health Triangle magazine. It's a digital magazine. Again, UK Health Radio. On your computer, you can listen to that. It's digital. KCAA, they also do their own podcasts and YouTube and stuff like that. And our podcast is downloaded in over 100 countries. And, you know, it charts frequently. So we've got the content and we've got a lot more on the way. And if you could just, if you enjoy the guests and content I bring you each and every week to the show, just support us. My word of advice to everybody out there, and one thing would be just love yourself. Don't change for other people. Be a critical thinker and respect yourself. And, you know, when the noise, listen to the noise, witness what's going on, and then don't get sucked into the drama. Just live your life and be kind.
Sage words. Bob, Robert, I appreciate you for letting me put on my interviewing hat tonight. It's been real. Thanks for everything that you've been bringing to the table. Excited to see what's next for you, for the brand, for the podcast, everything that you got going on. Really appreciate you. It's Guys Guy Radio, episode 600. It's been real.
So, love it. I remember, Ryan, like I always like to say,
hit me.
Guys, finish first.
Ah, love it.
The station that makes you feel good. UK Health Radio. The station that makes you feel good.
So there it is. Episode 600 of Guys Guy Radio in the books. It was fun putting on the interviewer cap, not for new hires in the marketing world, but for a guy that I've come to know quite well over the last 10 years. From my old boss at an ad agency when I was fresh out of college, to a guy whose podcast I would chop up in my apartment, to a friend and a mentor. It's cool how, as we progress, that some of the people that we might least expect become some of the most important people in our personal and collective journeys. But at the end of the day, that's what it's all about, right? Soaking up all the information, learning everything you can, and then putting into practice what works for you. You keep an open mind, you keep an open heart, and just let the universe open itself up for you. So what did we learn? Well, for one, life's crazy, but that's not a bad thing. If you're stuck in a rut, there's no shortage of new things to discover, new knowledge to uncover. That project you've been thinking about, go for it. That new brand that you were thinking about starting, launch it. There's never been a better time to broaden your horizons, to check out something new, to better yourself and those around you. Keep growing, keep thriving. Just remember to look out for one another. I appreciate you all sticking around. For personal plugs, if you want more of me, you can check out my band, The Great Airport Mystery, on Spotify and Apple Music. I also want to give a shout out to my brother, who goes by the moniker Slamstar, who wrote the outro music for this show. Until next time, I'll see you around.
It's Guys Guy Radio.